We've got a show on worship. I want to call it worship, W-A-R. I want to use it as worship because I believe that when we worship God, there's a warfare that goes on, that principalities start to tremble, demons start to get nervous. You see, church, we've got to learn about some of the tools that we have in our arsenal. And one of them is the spirit of worship. I tell you, if we could become worshipers, if we could become people that understand that worship develops us, that worship brings us into altitudes that we could never go to unless we worship. And remember, the Bible says that he inhabits the worship of his people. Rob.
Yeah, Prophet Vic, I mean, let me just tell the people on Long Island a little experience that I had with you. And, you know, I met Vic at the diner last week. We were doing some other venues, and I go to get in my wife's car, and Vic says there's something with the inspection on that car. And the first thing I thought, I says, well, he's seen the windshield. But then I said to myself, wait a second, I was here before him. The second thing was, well, maybe he's seen the windshield in the past. And I says, but I usually drive my car, I don't drive my wife's. Now, it was September 30th, the last day before October 1st, and I says, God, this means something. This inspection is due October 1st, and, you know, we all bring our vehicles to an auto parts garage, and we get it inspected annually to make sure it functions properly. But in the book of Genesis, in chapter 8, verse 5, it says, in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And Vic, Noah started to get outside the ark after it rained 40 days and inspect what was going on. He then sent out a raven to see if the raven could find dry ground. He then sent out a dove, and the dove came back because the Bible says she could find no foot to rest the sole of her foot. He waited 7 days. He sent the dove back out. And he wanted the dove to find a resting place. And I feel that's what the Holy Spirit does, Vic. He hovers and he's looking for a place to rest. And when we worship God, when we give him a place to come and take his abode, when we commune with him, you know. And I used to think the worship portion of the service when we come and corporately gather was for us, but it's really for the Lord that he can come and just be a partaker and just have that abode with us.
Yeah, and I believe, Rob, that is the key. That is the key. Because, you know, as John the Baptist said, less of me, more of him. I've got to decrease so he could increase. The problem in the body of Christ today is everybody's trying to increase. But if we would start to live the life, the crucified life of Christ, no longer do I get my way. But now I honor my brother, my sister. Now I look out for your needs over my own. I tell you, when we start living this way and we start worshiping God, you're going to see what I believe is going to happen. We're going to touch from Montauk to Manhattan. You know, somebody wrote me a letter recently. He says, what do you mean? I love when they start out a letter like that. What do you mean? I start to get a discernment on it right away. We're going to touch Montauk to Manhattan. Does that mean everybody's going to get saved? So I said to myself, the first thing I wanted to write back to the guy is, yeah, everybody's going to get saved. But I said, you know, let me be fair here. I said, we're about to touch every life from Montauk to Manhattan with the gospel. It's up to God what God does as we touch. Doesn't the scripture say some plant, some water, but the Spirit of God gives the increase? And I believe that I'm dropping little seeds in your heart to understand that we are coming into a Kairos moment, a moment where you're going to see that God is going to align himself with some of the prophetic unctions that have been on this island way before I got here. I remember Bishop Anthony D'Onofrio preaching this in the 80s and the 70s, talking about the Lord's Island. And I tell you, I believe that we are on that precipice. But I believe now, people, like ever before, we've got to learn to worship and pray. Do you know where I get most of my revelation from? While I'm worshiping God. I'm a man of worship and prayer. I live by it. I'm up at the early hours of the morning for years. I didn't just start this yesterday. For years, and I know how to get a hold of God. And sometimes it's hard to get a hold of God. I'm just saying this so you know that I'm normal and human. Because sometimes God plays hide and seek with me. He pulls away a little bit. While he's pulling away, I've got to start to concentrate a little more. I've got to start to remember to stay in a spirit of worship. I got to remember that God's not a genie, that I rub the lamp and he starts to answer my prayer. So sometimes when I get in the prayer closet, it's not all thrills. But I tell you something, I've been praying for over 30 years and worshiping God. And through this, God has showed me that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the fairest of 10,000. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one that can save your soul. He is the one that can bring you into where you need to be. He is all sufficient. He is beautiful. The Bible says that he stands with you. He becomes synonymously one with you. He has given you his spirit. This is the one that I've learned to worship with. The Bible says that he is the I am that I am. You know, when the disciples asked him, who are you? He says, tell them that I am. I am. Could you imagine telling somebody your name is I am? He said, tell them. You think about that. He is I am. I am sufficient for you. I am your provider. I am the lover of your soul.
Yeah, you know, that's actually biblical. The Bible says that God wills all men to come to repentance, but the reality is Jesus is for everybody, but not everybody's for Jesus. So it is the Father's will that all come to repentance, Vic. But in John chapter 4, verse 20, after Jesus is winding down with the woman at the well, she says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, here's the key. Verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. And I'd be honest, you don't need music to enter into a worship service. The Bible says you can sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs and just build yourself up. And, you know, worship is not about music. It's an attitude of the heart. It's saying, God, I am choosing to put you above the circumstances and the gods with a little g that are trying to get in front of you or before you. I'm choosing to make you Lord of my life.
And that's it. And my God, when God sees the heart of a man or woman that is a worshiper, God avails heaven's best to you. And I'll tell you something. I've noticed some of these doom and gloom preachers. I'll leave them nameless. We don't have to get into names, but you know who they are. They preach you down. I tell you, I've learned that most of them are not worshipers. I've watched them, and I see that they don't have the spirit of worship. They have the spirit of anxiety, have the spirit of worry, have the spirit of fear. But I tell you, once you get into a position of worship, my God, you start to see like the prophet said. He says, the servant woke up the prophet and said, hey, prophet, they're going to get us. They're all surrounded our ranch over here. He said, what are you talking about? He gets up and looks, says, come here. And he prays for him. He says, now go out and look. And that young whippersnapper servant says, my God, there are more for us than against us. I'm here to tell you that the spirit of worship will show you the hidden treasures that God has. He'll show you that he is supreme. When you give yourself over to the spirit of worship, you'll see in other dimensions that you've never seen before.
Yeah, Vic, one of the most audacious stories in the Bible in Genesis 22 is when God asks and requires a man by the name of Abraham to take his only son and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And in verse 5, it says, Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey, the lad which speaks of Isaac, and I will go yonder and worship. And we know what happens with the story, Vic. Isaac is laid on the altar with wood, and he looks up toward his dad, and he says, Dad, where's the ram? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, guess what, son? I didn't tell you this before we left the house. You are. But that's worship, Vic, when we are willing to kill the thing that is most important to us. And that sounds almost like the gospel story, to be honest with you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I mean, what a sacrifice that God himself, who knows what it means to lose something. But guess what, people? He was resurrected and he is ascended, and he is at the right hand of the Father. This is Jesus the champion. Let me just wind this down and I'll hand it over to Vic. Carmen wrote a song years ago called The Champion. This champion never lost a fight. He's undefeated. He only knocks out his enemies. You may say, well, maybe he's taking a few blows. Yeah, because he chose to. His name is Jesus. He is our King. He is the undefeated champion.
That's right. My God, that is it. He is all we need. My God, people, can you feel that today in your spirit? I tell you, some of you, as I feel by the Spirit, are going through. But remember the key. You're going through. You're not just staying there. You're a pilgrim in this earth. You're just passing through. You know, if the truth be known, we hear all these different messages, but in Hebrews 11, the Bible says those champions of faith were looking for a city that's maker and builder was God. My God, I'm looking for a city. Like my father, Don Carolio, says, he says, Vic, I'm not worried about the here and now. I'm more concerned about the there and then. And that is so true, people. So get your eyes off this world. Start to worship God so he could show you the hidden manner that you can't see unless you put on the lens of God's eyes. When you put on the lens of God, you'll see the things a little different than you'll see them without worshiping God. So become a worshiper. Remember, the Father is out looking for them that worship in the spirit of truth.
Yeah. You know, Vic, let me just wind it down with this and I'll turn it over to you. There are people that are going through some real heavy-duty stuff in the body of Christ. And my response to you is, are you enjoying Jesus? You know, the reality is, when you said that prayer and invited him, the enemy became your enemy. You see, when he had you on your side, he wasn't so concerned about you, but when you became his enemy and he became your enemy, that's when the enemy turned the heat up. But the reality is, warfare is going to come, but are you enjoying Jesus? We've got to enjoy him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year. And I love in the book of Revelations and in Isaiah, it says they worship 24/7. Holy, holy, holy. There's just a cry out, because when we see him, we will cry out, people, holy, holy, holy.